This is the flight director. Begin launch status check. CLCDR checking all stations are manned and systems are ready. Give me a go, no go. Talker?
Roger, Houston.
FSC?
That is a go.
Capcom?
Oh,
navigation?
Navigation?
Don't worry about guidance. We're just gonna...
Wait, what, Houston?
Here we go.
What?
Welcome back to Space Castle. It's your clubhouse and hours for all things nerdy. My name's DT, and I'm your best friend in a world we must defend.
My name's Alex, and I should be your starter choice.
And I'm Seth, and I am the very best that ever was.
We pulled that off on the fly. I'm proud of us. We're professionals now.
We've done this before.
Gentlemen, there are two things on my mind this week. The first of which is the fact that Pokemon Violet and Scarlet comes out on November 18th.
Yes.
I'm very, very excited about it. The second of which is that Seth, our good friend, our good dear friend Seth, our brother in Christ, our co-pilot here on the Space Castle, has not played a Pokemon game in a very, very long time. And I think we should spend the next 35 to 40 minutes convincing him that Scarlet and Violet is a good point for him to jump back in. Because Alex and I need a buddy to do raids with and explore the brand new Generation 9 region.
There's raids in Pokemon now?
See, all we needed was 30 seconds and we're good.
Done.
Let's go.
All right,
good night, everybody.
Cool.
Patreon.com/SpaceCastlePod. Buy our merchandise. Subscribe to us. Yes. And leave a review. Thanks, everybody.
Time out. Oh, time the fuck out. What could a raid even be in Pokemon? Is it like a group gym battle? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, kind of. So it was introduced in Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is the previous game that came on Switch a couple years ago. And there were Pokemon variants called Gigantorifics or some shit like that.
Oh,
I don't remember.
God, dude.
There were giant Kaiju versions of Pokemon, which was fucking dope as shit. But you can team up with buddies in Pokemon in the overworld and jump into raid battles. And you all got to beat up on this giant Pokemon. And if you beat it, you all got a chance at catching it. Sometimes it was like a special, like rare Pokemon. And it was rare, but it also had the ability to do this. I can't remember the fucking name of the power, but they turned gigantic, like Kaiju size. And some of them had like variations where they looked different when they were Kaiju size. And it was fucking dope.
Yeah, it was like a max move. Every iteration of a new generation of Pokemon now has some sort of new thing that they do. So the newest one will have, I don't know, some sort of like gimmicky...
They turn into like crystalline versions of themselves.
Yeah.
So, why the fuck?
Even though they're essentially making the same game every year, they have to do something to where it's not exactly the same game every year.
I think that's part of my problem. That's also why I don't play Call of Duty anymore.
Well, it's like a less shitty version of Madden, too, or Madden is just a somewhat newer, somewhat more broken version every year it comes out.
Oh, generous of you to think that they actually change Madden at all in between games.
I know they don't. No. The only thing they fucking change is the rosters and the teams. No, it's like Photoshop, where it's essentially 30 fucking years old, and they've never bothered to fix any of the glitches along the way. No, it just keep piling on.
I know. You just get used to them. I think that's one of the core pillars of my problem with Pokemon and why I haven't played since. I think the last Pokemon game I ever played was Gold.
Gold? Really? Wow. Second generation.
Yeah, I think that's second generation.
It is.
I played at least most of that. I can remember playing most of Gold and Silver. I don't know if I finished it. I can't recall. I have played through Red or Green or Yellow like... 7 or 8 times. I genuinely love the first game.
7 or 8 times. Those are rookie numbers, my friend. You gotta pump those numbers up.
That's the thing. If I cared about the rest of the franchise, I'd probably play it more often, but I have other shit to play, you know?
When you think about playing Pokemon again, though, like say it just arrived at your doorstep in 3 days. Amazon has gifted you with the newest iteration of Pokemon. You're not going to get hyped just nostalgia-wise opening it up and picking your starter.
No. Here's the thing. One of the main core pillars of my problem is it's too convoluted and complicated now. I don't have any attachment to any of these Pokemon. 151 from Gen 1 was borderline the maximum number. Now there's like, how many Pokemon are there now? That's too fucking many.
But no, they're not all in every game that comes out, because Game Freak knows for a fact that that's just too fucking many. A lot of the hardcore fans always get pissed off, even though they know it's coming, that not all Pokemon are going to be in every game. They cherry pick the ones that suit that game as it comes out. It's not nearly as daunting as it sounds. I was able to catch all 350 or whatever in Sword and Shield, plus the exclusives for the other version because they double up for every time now. I had a fucking blast doing it, man.
Loved it, yeah.
The sheer numbers aren't that big of a deal. Like, I've got a lot of individual slot space in my brain for things like that. But the problem is each new game has another 300 Pokemon or whatever it happens to be.
No, it is. They don't add that many to it every generation.
You've got Sword and Shield era, which you said had 350 Pokemon.
Just in the game, yeah. But I mean, the accumulative number for all 9 generations now is over 1,000, but you're not going to see all 1,000 of them in each game. That's just overwhelming.
Right. So each game introduces like a new generation of Pokemon.
A new like dozen or so, yeah.
I grew attached to Gen 1 from playing the card game, from playing the video games, to watching the anime. There is no attachment point for me for any new generation of Pokemon. Like, I don't have any reason to know these like 50 new mech looking Pokemon or the Pokemon that like fucking are just a cow or like a whale or something. Like, there is no.
Dude, but that's what OG Pokemon were supposed to be. They're supposed to remind you of an animal, and then
exactly. But now there is one that is literally just a whale. It's not like something that's different and reminds you of a whale.
My guy, in the original 150, there were at least 6 that were just fish.
That's the point I'm making.
Like, they were supposed to remind you of fish because they were fish, my dude.
That's exactly the point I'm making. That's already there. I don't need 500 more Pokemon that are just other types of fish.
No, you do though, because part of the fun of it is that you're in this safari and that's why they had a safari in the games. Is that you're finding and discovering new Pokemon. Like, oh, I haven't seen this one before. This is interesting. Which is why there's this completionist sort of through line throughout the game.
So it's just a collect-a-thon now.
Well, of course, a theme song says I'm going to catch them all. That's part of the whole thing.
That's literally the entire fucking draw of the game is OCD RPG shit where you catch all the things.
Yeah.
Why should I continue to care about that?
Oh, because of the nostalgia. That's what it comes
from. I've got the nostalgia from playing the first game, not replaying a new one.
But when you crack open, when I cracked open Pokemon Shield, DT gifted it to me. Thank you, DT.
You're welcome.
And I cracked it open.
I love you.
And I love you too. And I was smiling ear to ear for the first like 2 hours that I played this game. Because it's just...
Why?
Because it was so reminiscent of everything that I had... You've played 7 or 8 times through these games. I've probably played 40 times minimum through these games from top to bottom each iteration. And that means red, blue, yellow, silver, gold, crystal, leaf green, fire red, ruby, sapphire, all of those up until it got to, I didn't get the DS. And that was when it fell off for me. I bought the game because my sister had a DS and played it. That's how much I wanted to play these games, because the nostalgia is still there. It's familiar yet different, which is why new fantasy novels that hit and land well, it's because they take something familiar and then blend in something really unique and out there and say, here's this new concept, but it's still on the backbone of something that you know and love. So here's the structure that they have in Pokemon games, which is always going to be, you're going to find your Pokemon out of these 3 starters. You don't need to stick with them if you don't want to, but that's what you're going to get from the start. Here's your freebie. Move on. And then you get to choose how you play the game and catch. So there are people that are like, all right, I'm going to stick with 4 Pokemon, beat the game as quickly as possible because I'm a completionist. There are others, like the last time I played was totally different than any time I ever played before. Before it was, I'm going to get whoever seems cool on my way through and just try to power my way through this. Recently, the last time I played, I tried to catch every new Pokemon that I saw because I was racing DT to see who could catch 351st.
It is a Pokemon game after all. Like I get that.
It's new and exciting whenever you see a new one that you're like, oh, I'm unfamiliar with this. I'm with you. I don't like soft serve Pokemon.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem, is I don't feel excited when I see a new Pokemon. Like I'm not like, ooh, I need to catch this new Pokemon. It's not exciting to me anymore.
Did you ever play Fire Red, Leaf Green, the modernization of the original games?
No.
That doesn't interest you, though? So it doesn't have the same nostalgia factor?
I mean, not right off the bat. So they modernized it. What does that mean?
It just means you take the essentially the same game.
And just update the graphics? Like what?
No, let me break this down for you, Boomer. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet that are coming out November 18th. It's a ninth generation. It is the first true open world RPG Pokemon. It's got three different intersecting and interweaving story paths that you can choose to do at any point. You can literally travel across the entire peninsula and do whatever you want in whatever order now. You can actually do that with four friends online. So it's now a group activity and you're going through the story together. You can go on raids. You can...
Wasn't...
Yes, sir.
Wasn't Arceus that?
Not the same.
Kind of. It was prototypical for what this game is now. But it is the first true open world Pokemon RPG. It's blown wide open. It's way different than what you remember. If you don't like the fucking ice cream cone Pokemon, you can catch it and never look at it again. You can go into the lava area of the map and let it go free and hope it melts and dies.
Oh, Jesus.
Do whatever the fuck you want to do. You are no longer beholden to just the linear storytelling of the original Game Boy games. You can now play it with four people. You can go on raids. You can do all kinds of activities. You can trade. You can customize your character with all kinds of different outfits and shit. You can go and hunt down badges with your buddies. It's a totally, totally different experience. And I really do think that because you love the original series, the original generation so much, I think you really will get into this again. I think you'll see the familiarity, the nostalgia, but also the fact that it's wildly different since you last played it. I think you'll get into it.
Open world RPG in the Pokemon universe does sound interesting.
There you fucking go, my dude.
My only hang up now is the Pokemon themselves.
Well, fuck it. You get to pick which ones you hang out with the whole time.
You could play the game, and I challenge you to do this now that you're saying this, to play the new game and only choose from the original 150.
Are they even in the game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I thought you said that they...
No. In the trailer, you can see somebody, a gym leader, using an Arcanine, which is... You know, obviously in the original 150, so.
One of the original legendaries, yeah.
No, not legendary. Growlithe evolved into Arcanine. It wasn't a legendary, but.
Oh, I thought it was a legendary.
No, there's only three and they were all birds.
You're thinking of Entei, Raikou, and Suicune, which were in the Gold, Silver, and Crystal era, second generation legendary dogs.
I don't like how convoluted Pokemon has gotten.
It's always been.
No, Gen 1 and 2 weren't convoluted. They were...
All right, explain convoluted to me then. How do you mean convoluted?
Yeah, because there isn't homework that's required for this.
It's like saying that Breath of the Wild is convoluted compared to the original Zelda. It's just an evolution of the basic game.
But this is the genius of this game, though. If you think about it, like originally, what you're tasked to do when you first boot up Pokemon Blue, which was what I booted up.
Squirtle.
Professor Oak tells you, you're going to go out and explore. And you're going to find new Pokemon that you don't know anything about. And you're going to inform this Pokedex, you're going to go and be a zoologist, effectively.
You're going to travel across the land, searching far and wide.
The premise and story is not convoluted. It's the Pokemon that are convoluted.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant, though.
It's irrelevant because that is exactly what you're supposed to feel. Like, in a perfect world, when they started Pokemon in the early to mid-90s, they would have created it with 900 Pokemon that you could find. Now, and instead, they did 150, which is a massive undertaking in and of itself, and they did great with that. Now you've got 900 named animals, and you don't have to memorize the Latin. You can just move on and grab whoever it is that you want to hang on to, train them up, battle with them, cruise on to the next gym leader. It's familiar, but the core of it is the same. And if you're not unfamiliar with the Pokemon, great. That's exactly what you want. I don't want to look at any of this. I'm going to be Seth, not look at any trailers of this other than the ones that I've seen two trailers and go into this world and just find new Pokemon and be like, I don't know that one. And then realize like, oh, that's from Generation 3. This one you just don't remember.
So I think I brought this up in the pregame or in between. I don't know. I think I am feeling burned by that exact experience because I had this time several years ago now, I guess, that I was like, okay, Pokemon's huge. It's coming back in. Like, I'm going to try to get back into it. And the Pokemon that I initially like discovered, found, knew about, I didn't play the games, but the first ones that I like found.
You're going to see X and Y and it's all going to make sense now.
Yeah.
No. Fuck, no, Pokemon X and Y suck, dude.
I think that is one of those things where it's like, okay, I wasn't really feeling a lot of this, but I gave it a shot and it sucked and I was right. Like, so what about this new game is exciting? I like the nostalgia is great, but if I want the nostalgia, I'll go play Sly Cooper or I'll go play Pokemon Red. Like, I don't need 300 new Pokemon to memorize for the nostalgia factor.
To me, it's the open world thing that DT talked about, because you have an iteration wherein the game is the same in terms of your goal. Your goal is still to catch them all. Your goal is still to beat all the gym leaders.
To be the very best.
To be the very best. But you now have the ability to go wherever you want, and the game will scale with you.
Mm-hmm.
Once you beat one gym leader, then it scales properly. Like you would assume, and is built into the code of the game, the original games, it scales with you. So like you can only use certain Pokemon with a certain level until you beat a gym leader and then get that badge, and now Pokemon will obey you is what it said originally, which is controversial, but whatever. You now have the ability to go wherever you want. It's like all open world. You can go.
It's like a more traditional open world RPG.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I'm starting with a Bulbasaur. I can go straight to Misty because I have an advantage there. Like, that's what I'm understanding.
Let's change gears then. Tell me what is cool about new generations of Pokemon. You know, take the original Gen 1 starter set, right? You've got your Water, Fire, and Grass, which are cool. Those three evolutions are cool. Like, Charizard's cool. Blastoise is cool. From what I've seen of previous generations, I don't know, in the, like, Gen 7 era or something, I don't know, the Pokemon just aren't cool.
Oh.
Gen 8 crushed it.
They're just, like, a mech, or, like, there's 15 Pokemon that look like different, like, Mewtwo and different armor sets. Like, convince me that these new Pokemon are cool.
I've been with you on that, right? I don't like soft serve Pokemon. I don't like little clock gear Pokemon. You know, I'm not really into that. I think Generation 8 and what they did with Sword and Shield, whoever was on board for that crushed it. They did really well because they're Pokemon that really reminded me of the original 150.
Were they like things that made sense?
Yeah, they made sense. They definitely made sense. The only criticism that I have from watching trailers is the transportation in the new one. We don't really know exactly. We don't know the evolutions yet.
It's not a million-dollar bicycle anymore?
No, it's a living Pokemon that you ride around on.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, DT, we're trying to convince Seth here. We're not trying to steer him clear. And this is,
Is it like riding a Ponyta, or is it like riding inside the cat bus from My Neighbor Totoro?
It would make so much more sense to just like whistle a la Gandalf and summon your Shadowfax Rapidash and hop on across the Pokemon land.
What is it? Is it like a skateboard Pokemon? Like, what the fuck?
No, it's not a skateboard Pokemon. It's so much worse. It's like,
this is all going to go off the rails right now.
I know. It's like a...
Oh, I've peeled the curtain back.
It's a dirt bike hang glider Pokemon, basically.
It is not.
Yeah, it's like a robotic kind of looking, like, cybernetic Pokemon that morphs into the type of vehicle you need at the time.
I had a theory.
Are you serious?
I was like, why would they?
Is it like a Ditto? What?
No.
How does it?
Here's what I'm thinking.
It's a
They've got to make it approachable, and there must have been some sort of issue previously with, I've got to access this and that to get to my bike, and then I've got to fly, and then I've got to whatever.
It's called game progression.
Well, sure, it's called game progression, but these are games that should be accessible to people who are nostalgic, like us, in their 30s, and or 8-year-olds. So,
hey, man, Gen 1 was the same.
Well, Gen 8, Sword and Shield is pretty good because it just gave you a bicycle.
Yeah. And there was a tutorial for it.
And when you came to water, like the bicycle wheels would turn into like paddle wheels. You could just kind of bike across the water. It was pretty dope. I mean, it's Pokemon. There's not a whole lot of restraint in those areas. And I'm sure once we get into the nitty gritty and we start playing Violet and Scarlet, the dirt bike motorcycle Pokemon will make sense in the context of the world. It tends to happen that way. It does.
Yeah, and you can't, like, this isn't a game where you boot it up and you start and it says, do you want to play on easy mode or hard mode? And in hard mode, that's where you have to find a Pokemon that can actually fly, and you can find a Pokemon that I can actually surf.
Is that true? Because that is how I would prefer.
Of course, because you're used to the original game where you had to have HMs.
Yeah, and I didn't get a bicycle until 2/3 of the way through, and it cost me $1 million.
No, they simplified a lot of the things that way, because the goal of the game is still to catch as many as you can, to level them up and train them, and then move and progress through the game so that you can actually get through the story. Because I'm sure that through market research, there were hundreds and hundreds and thousands and if not more than the tens of thousands of kids who played Pokemon and got up to like level 40 Bulbasaurs, realizing that they hadn't progressed past, you know, Cerulean City because they didn't know what to do.
So has recent games like watered down the game mechanics so that the progression of the story was easier?
No, it's just, it's just widespread. It's just more, you can invest time in some of the more complicated mechanics if you want. You can get into breeding, or you can get into some of the...
Oh, you can breed Pokemon now? Jesus.
It's not as graphic as you think.
Well, thank God for that. I'm glad it's not Rule 34 over here.
That was introduced in Gen 2. Like, you could breed Pokemon way back in the day. Togepi was introduced in Generation 2. Misty got a Togepi in the anime, and then they had to introduce it in... You got breeders in Gen 2. So you had eggs. And that was a big part of getting Togepi, Togetic, all of that.
Togetic? Okay, let's talk about Pokemon naming schemes, because what the fuck?
I think it makes sense, most of them.
Hey, Alex, how exactly does that make sense? Please explain.
I mean, I immediately think of the first couple of generations, so I can't really, I don't know if I can argue that, but...
They've gotten goofy. I mean, fuck it. It's part of the charm, though. Like, this isn't Mass Effect. This isn't Breath of the Wild.
It's a roller coaster for me, though. Sometimes it is really charming. Like Togepi, for example. That is a nonsensical thing. That's nice. But what was that scoop of ice cream Pokemon that you told me? Vanillin or something? That's ridiculous.
Vanillish. Yeah.
That's absurd.
And then it evolves into Vanillux, which is a double scoop of ice cream.
See, some of them are nice and some of them are fucking awful. That's a terrible name.
Should we tell him about Alcremie?
No.
Is this a puddle of milk that's a Pokemon now?
No, it's like a big glob of anthropomorphized female looking cream.
What?
That depending on how you breed it and what you feed it, you can change the color and the flavor.
Like a Ditto, but if Ditto was strawberry flavored?
Mint.
The concept of this episode is falling apart because we're just telling Seth now all of the things that are terrible.
Yeah, because you're telling me about Pokemon and I was correct in that it's ridiculous. It's gotten so off the rails, dude.
In good ways and bad ways, though. And the good so far outweighs the bad. And the fact that what was the one thing you really wanted to do as a kid when you were playing Pokemon? You wanted to truly play it with your friends. You wanted to go on that adventure. You wanted to battle Pokemon. You wanted to explore the areas and find new ones. You wanted to trade and do everything like there in person without the fucking Game Boy connector cable and shit.
Yeah, dude, I had a Link cable.
And now you can do that. You can go through this entire game as a squad and experience everything together, which is fun. Imagine me and Alex. Alex has put the kids to bed. It's a Friday night. We're getting fucking hammered and we're catching Pokemon.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
That is what we did with Sword and Shield, and it was so goddamn much fun. We had so many drunk raids with B-Rai too, and it was just great.
Loved it.
So, okay. I think I'm still in a similar position.
Now you're just choosing to be at this point.
I think I'm still in a similar position to when I started the episode, in that I am not sure that the good does outweigh the bad.
Because you haven't played one in 20 years, man.
You've done a pretty good job of convincing me to try.
Okay.
It does sound pretty fun, but send me home, baby. Hey, give me that last step.
You're not going to bounce off it. Like, I haven't played Pokemon Shield in a while, but when we talked about what we were going to do for this episode, I booted up Pokemon Shield and just opened up my list of the 6 Pokemon that were in my squad. And I was immediately like, oh yeah, this is dope.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not feel that? You gotta feel it.
I feel like that every time I boot up the OG Pokemon. I just don't have the connection to the new ones yet to feel that way. Tell me about the narrative.
I said that specifically.
I said that specifically. Like I said, I'm open to doing it. Like, I'm not.
The story is so much easier to follow.
I think that might be a bad thing.
No, it's the difference between playing like a text-based adventure game, and which you love, and they're great.
They are great. Yeah.
And playing Skyrim, because that's what the new iteration.
Skyrim sucks.
Fuck off, Skyrim. Get out of here. Skyrim is amazing.
I'm just playing.
You now have a similar path. It's more narratively driven. However, or it's just as narratively driven. However, you have the ability to go wherever you want, interact with whomever you want, and you can craft the game however you want because of the Pokemon you choose to grab. And I've considered restarting Pokemon Shield and just like trying to play the game as much as I can with just evolutions.
How many evolutions are there these days?
Oh, quite a few.
Many more than you think.
That sucks. That sucks.
There's allegedly not going to be any new ones with Scarlet and Violet, though, so that won't be something adding on more to it.
That's good.
But the evolutions have gotten so fucking dope, honestly.
Okay, why? What makes them dope?
Because they're cooler and they're more varied and they have more elemental versions and shit. There's Leafeon, which is probably my favorite, which is the Earth-type Eevee evolution, which is dope as shit. There's Flareon and Jolteon and Vaporeon, which are the classics. And then you've got, what's the black one with the gold ring on his forehead?
Umbreon.
It's fucking rad. Umbreon is dope Umbreon as shit,
was, I think, a gold-silver era. I know it was. I know of Umbreon.
No, that was the thing in Gold and Silver. You can get to the, I think it's like the fifth gym. That was one of the first times they implemented time mechanics in the game, where if you evolved your Eevee at night, you would get an Umbreon. During the day, you would get an Espeon.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, and then there's Espeon, which is cool. They're just fun.
Yeah, it's Espeon, cool to- Espeon was back then, too.
And in each new game, they change the ways in which you have to evolve the Eevees too. So it becomes a whole new like side quest that you can do on your own if you want to, which is fun.
Okay. How is the combat mechanics now? Like, I guarantee it's not going to be like it was on Game Boy Color. Like, what is it like now?
Raid battles now will implement more of an RPG style a la what you're accustomed to.
Ooh, I'm into that. Okay.
You can use your own personal time to choose your moves and attack a raid boss, as opposed to previously it was all turn-based. And if you were online with, I mean, and they had to do this with Sword and Shield because Nintendo notoriously is terrible online. But now you will have the ability to choose your moves independently, attack the raid boss, as it were, and at the end, everybody has the opportunity to catch them. So they had Dynamax, which is what the word you were looking for previously, DT, and I couldn't remember.
Thank you. What was I was thinking Gigantamax, because Gigantamax was the even higher version of that, yeah.
And then now you have Terra or Terrastalizing, which is the making them diamonds and crystallizing them. You aren't getting new evolutions, but you are getting a strange new type of Eevee that could become leaf type. It essentially, you can get a terrestrialized version of a Pokemon that changes their type. So you could have a, I don't know, I guess theoretically, if you were to take like the OGs, you could have like a grass type Squirtle, for instance. I don't think that that's entirely accurate, but that's sort of how it's pitched in the marketing. So terrestrializing means you can sort of change the type, or you can find one that has a separate type.
I don't think I like that.
You will. It's neat. It's different. It's varied. It's unique. It's strange. It's beautiful.
Some of the wacky things that they did with Sword and Shield really threw me for a loop, but I ended up having so much fun with them. Like, there's one Pokemon wherein you have to, in order to catch it, you have to like flip your Switch upside down at one point.
Man, that is such a kid's 3DS thing to do.
Yeah. And I was like, this is so 90s and it's so great. It's so like wacky. Because I was originally like, are you kidding me? This is why I couldn't find this Pokemon. And then I caught it and I was like, this is great. I love this. So like, yeah, I completely flipped the script and it's like, it's amazing. I love that.
Complete that first thought. Tell me, how does the fight mechanics work now? What's it like?
Way different.
Yeah.
It's still similar. It's still your rock, paper, scissors system. But what they're doing is they're evolving past Arceus, where there's actually real-time mechanics where you actually catch the Pokemon in real time. Like, you're not just walking up the Pokemon and battling and catching it. There's instances where you can actually just run up to a Pokemon and attack it and beat it down, or just throw a Pokeball at it. And it's much less turn-based and much more like action RPG style, which is really, really neat. Yeah.
they're getting closer and closer to the thing that you imagined when you were 7 years old playing the game for the first time, where you want to wander through the world. When I was in the fourth grade, I created a prototype VR helmet that looked like a motorcycle helmet, wherein we were going to stick that sucker on your head and you'd be able to wander around Kanto finding Pokemon out in the wild. And we're getting closer to that on the Switch, because in Sword and Shield, you wander around and you see Pokemon out in the grass. It's not like you're just wandering through grass and then you encounter triggers.
It's not random encounters like Final Fantasy style. It's you see all the Pokemon out in the world, which is really, really weird and really cool at the same time.
Yeah, you can avoid them without repels.
You can just run away if they're too fucking strong.
Or you can jump right in like, oh, I don't have a Haunter yet.
The turn-based fight mechanics was just a limitation of the tech at the time.
Sure.
So it's kind of interesting that they're kind of like, okay, we don't need the facade of this RAM saving mechanic anymore. And so it's like,
I mean, it's still there. Like gym battles and stuff are still very much turn-based and whatnot, but it's, you know, for lack of a better word, it's an evolution of what it previously was. And it's done very smartly and succinctly. And honestly, I think your fears are going to turn out to be like a benefit once you jump in. I'm actually kind of jealous that you haven't played one of these games in 20 years and you're going to be jumping into it. It's going to be like Plato's Cave, where we're going to pull back the curtain and like you're going to see the world in 3D. It's going to be wild and exciting and weird. There you go. Yeah, it's going to be such a huge leap for you. And I think all the things you're apprehensive about, you're actually going to be really excited about once you actually jump into it and re-experience them for the first time.
Maybe. That is entirely possible. I do love video games, and the Pokemon Company makes good video games. How has the world changed?
Well, politically.
Since 9/11.
Is that the cultural touchstone you're going with?
It's bigger and it's more varied, and you actually know when you're in a snow area now. You know when you're in a hot area, and there's day-night cycles, and Pokemon that are nighttime Pokemon come out at the nighttime instead of the daytime, and it's all dynamic now. It's not just the top-down view of just the green and on white like the Game Boy was.
Is it just wandering between cities like it always has been?
That's life.
It has been. But now, like I said, it's open world, and you can go to any cities you want to and go to all the different various regions and, well, not regions, you're in one big region, but the different areas of that region and explore all the different like biomes and stuff like that. So you're free to go wherever you want right from like square one.
And it makes it more realistic, I guess. Like you're going to be able to find only, you know, you're only going to be able to find certain Pokemon in specific biomes and or in specific routes along the way from city to city.
Is it a whole new region, or is it just like
a whole new region? Every new generation is a whole new region.
Does it all take place on the same map? Is it all in the same universe?
Yeah, it's all the same planet.
So Sword and Shield was based on the UK. This new iteration is based on Spain. So
in Portugal a little bit, yeah.
Could you imagine fucking, wow, what a wild implication. Could you imagine in your little, you know, sleepy town, you've got yourself a Charmander and you've caught like 50 different Pidgeys in an oak grove. And then like you win a plane ticket to another country and you come across like, whatever the fuck these new Pokemon are like, like that would be fucking wild.
Here's a Kangaskhan. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Someday. Someday we'll get a Pokemon game that's every single region all in one game. And someday we'll get an Elder Scrolls game that's every continent in one game. And it'll be great. And it'll happen 20 years after I die.
You know, at the end of the day, Seth, you really don't have a choice. Like, DT and I are both getting this game. You're going to get this game. We need another for our raid battle. So you're going to have to join us.
We need the Vankman to our stands and Zedmore.
Here's the problem. Right there on my wall is my Nintendo Switch. I bought it years ago, and I bought Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And I played 45 minutes of it.
Of Breath of the Wild?
Haven't played it since. I just have so much other shit going on.
This is a lost cause. I'm just going to call this podcast episode right now.
So,
play fucking Breath of the Wild.
I'm working on it.
Or we're not as good of friends as we are right now. Still friends.
I'm working on it. It is on my very short list of games to play. The problem is, I have 8 minutes of free time.
Well, if you would spend less time fucking around with Goldblum, you would have more free time to do important things in life, like
who
play Breath of the Wild.
Who do you think keeps him from killing you when you sleep?
I think Breath of the Wild is more important than my life.
The Needcast, your source for offbeat news.
Marauding monkeys bring fear to historic Indian tourist haven. These monkeys have gotten aggressive. Anytime you hold a package in their hand, they'll come up and they'll snatch it from you. Like gang members. Like, take your chain.
Oh my god.
Hot takes on sports?
Drew Brees is a legend. How dare you?
He is, but he's done.
No, he's not. You pardoned him. He's coming back.
He wants to pardon Drew Brees. I want to throw him in prison.
And deep dives into the paranormal.
The Loveland Frogman. At approximately 3:30 a.m., an unnamed businessman, the most credible witness maybe you can find.
Unnamed businessman.
I was just doing business when I saw a frogman.
Join us every Monday, and let's talk some bullshit. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all your favorite podcasting apps.
We've got a listener question. And DT, before we like do any weird shenanigans, just hit me with the question. Let's just go. I can feel my like the 900 Pokemon is really dumping out of my brain. So just get us in.
Okay. This question comes to us from Lisa. Thanks very much, Lisa. She sent it to us via our Gmail account at spacecastlepodcast@gmail.com. The question is, and like I said, it's very, very topical. You appear in the Pokemon universe. Which Pokemon do you immediately go and seek out to start your squad?
Great question.
Vanillish, just to piss off Seth.
Okay, here's the thing. Am I actually seeking out a Pokemon to start a squad with? Because, like, you know, that means I'm not getting Charizard. That shit ain't going to happen.
Well,
I'm going to have to pick up a Pidgey or something.
No, just you can forego all that. You don't have to level up. This is you in the Pokemon world. Which Pokemon are you going to be like, you know what? I'm just going to go track that motherfucker down, and that's going to be my Pokemon.
Zapdos.
Okay, why?
Big fly.
Mm-hmm. Fly makes sense.
Go fast. Very shocky.
Shocky. Shocky boy.
Big bird goes zap.
Wait, what generation was Zapdos?
Gen 1. Gen 1. He was number 142 or something like that.
He's going to be impressed and also suspicious if it was anything past Gen 1 and Seth knew who it was. But also Pokemon Go, so okay.
I did play Pokemon Go, too, for a while when it first came out.
Did you like Pokemon Go?
Not really. That's why
Fuck,
I stopped playing.
Really?
Dude, I remember.
Yeah. I didn't like the raid mechanics. The Pokestop things were terrible. It was not...
That's actually gotten a lot better, too, honestly.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was fine. But, you know, it wasn't enough to keep me playing.
Alex and I were running around parks, chasing around behind little kids, catching Pokemon and having the time of our fucking lives.
Like, I would pull out Pokemon Go when I went to Seattle on vacation that one time. Like, it was a good for a while, but then, like, the raid mechanics became shitty. It all just kind of fell apart for me.
The thing is, it's funny that you say that because it started shitty. Like, Pokemon Go was terrible when it started. It launched awful.
It was awful.
But it was a cultural movement. The game, looking back, was a wild success. Yeah.
Yes, that whole summer was fucking magical. So when I wasn't in my neighborhood wandering around with all the other adults and we're all like making friends and being buddies and shit, there was one time I was sitting in my office. I was working in Scottsdale at the time, like Shea and Scottsdale Road, I think. Yeah, thereabouts. And I was working in a business complex, and behind the business complex was a golf course. And I was sitting on my phone just fucking around because it was a slow day. And I was the only one in the office that day. And a fucking Snorlax pops up in the golf course behind the building. And I'm like, fuck. I didn't even like tell anybody I was leaving. I just got, I left. There was no way to reach the golf course without getting in my car in the parking lot, driving around the back of the building in time to get there in time, parking the golf course, and then running and trespassing on the golf course to get the Snorlax. And here's the thing. It's like, I did this shit. It's like I was like 32 at the time. And there's a motherfucker in a business suit running through the fucking grass. There's a lady wearing high heels running through the fucking grass.
Did you see the Snorlax?
All of us, and we're all there. Are you here for the Snorlax? You're here for the Snorlax? And we all fucking got it. And we all cheered.
Yes.
And we all high-fived.
Yes,
it was
dude.
Fucking best shit ever.
Yes.
And then we all went silent and turned our separate ways and went back to work. It was awesome. That game was goddamn magical. And that's what I want for you and for us to play Violet and Scarlet on the Switch as a squad, because that's that sort of community fun, let's go on an adventure together bullshit that I love.
That game brought people together for sure. I was in Flagstaff. I had come back after college. A lot of friends had moved off, so I didn't really know many people, and they were doing legendary raids. I was like, okay, I'm just going to wander around town doing this fun stuff. And I met so many people, just like thunderstorms raining down, monsoons coming through the high desert. And we're all huddled underneath the best barbecue place in Flagstaff, just like munching down on delicious Satchmos, waiting for this Lugia to pop up.
And then players?
What?
What?
did you hear Satchmo's barbecue and immediately interpret as trumpet players?
You were chowing down at Satchmo's. Satchmo's a famous trumpet player.
No, Satchmo's is the name of the best barbecue place in Flagstaff.
Okay, I wasn't sure what Flagstaff got up to these days. So,
well,
okay.
If there was a trumpet player, it would have made it that much better, especially if they were playing the Pokemon theme music, which we all had on full blast on our phones. Pokemon theme music is notoriously excellent. Pokemon Go's theme music was phenomenal.
Dude, the nighttime theme. I will still just turn on my cell phone, and it's not true. I always have my cell phone on. I'll boot up Pokemon Go at like 9 o'clock at night just because that nighttime theme has such nice memories of like wandering around.
Yes.
When it was only 95 degrees out at 2 o'clock in the morning as opposed to 112. It's just nice. Hey guys, if you were transported into the Pokemon universe, like, what would be the first Pokemon you would seek out?
Hey, I told you right off the bat this shit was going to go off the rails. I don't know if I would go Zapdos.
It's too late now. We've already tangented too many times.
Okay. I'll stick with Zapdos. I did the thing.
Seth clearly didn't watch Pokemon the movie 2000 because Zapdos is very difficult to get your hands on.
Yes. Well, my initial thought was Mewtwo, but that's cruel. It'd be a cool friend, though.
Yeah, you can't. It's problematic.
Yeah, I would be friends with Mewtwo. You know, I wouldn't like capture and own them.
Should I go next? Alex, do you want to go next?
Go. No, yeah, you can try. You go. I'll wait. I've got the right answer, so you go.
Oh, so sure of himself. The motherfucker who almost ruined the pregame video because he left one of his Pokemon out on his keyboard has the right answer.
Yep.
My answer is Giratina. It's a fucking ghost dragon that can fly, and it's as big as a fucking kaiju. If you're going to go one Pokemon that you have to have as your best friend and pal, you're going to go find a fucking legendary ghost dragon, because the only thing that can one fuck with it is other ghost types or dark types. And also, two, it's a fucking dragon that can fly. Let's go!
It's a good answer.
Let's go.
Hey, DT, how are you going to care for and feed a fucking Godzilla, man?
You know all those little kids that you battle along the way on the road, the ones that stop you and be like, I'm just going to feed those fuckers to Giratina.
Wow, Pokemon has taken a real brutal turn.
DT is just wrecking youngsters one after the other.
Oh, you're one to talk, Pub Stomper.
Okay.
Talk about wrecking youngsters.
It's not...
Come in, video game and just ruin somebody's childhood.
There were at least two or three people over the age of 14.
I love that the flip side of that legendary story of Alex winning that Halo tournament is the fact that there are so many kids who went home that day and were like, there was like this 45-year-old man who just beat the shit out of all of us in Halo. And he just laughed.
Yeah, this old guy made me cry today.
No, I was probably 24. So realistically, they went back and they were like, there was this 17-year-old that beat the shit out of us. because I look like a baby when I don't have a beard. Okay. I'm going to answer this question from Lisa.
I believe in you.
I think if I started Gen 1, I would go the Gary Oak route.
Interesting.
Which was the proper route. Like, I would go Squirtle. He gets a Blastoise eventually. He gets an Eevee that turns into an Umbreon. Badass. He gets a Growlithe that turns into Arcanine.
So you would go Squirtle first?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, emoji Squirtle all the live long day. I'm with you that a flying type is important, and that's where I would defer from Gary Oak. I would not go Fearow. I would go
Giratina.
Yes, but I'm still thinking Gen 1, so
that's why I asked right off the bat. Am I like starting my Pokemon journey? Because then like Zapdos is unrealistic and ridiculous. I would absolutely go Charmander.
Just for function.
Just because Charmander's the best.
Yeah, if I had to pick a starter, I think I would go Rowlet. Just because I really love Decidueye, the full evolution. Because he's just a fucking...
Decidueye is a category of tree.
Yeah, Decidueye, when he's evolved fully from Rowlet, he's like an elven owl archer with like a feather cloak.
What?
And it's fucking radical.
That's badass.
He's dope as shit. Yeah.
That does sound cool, but that does not sound like a Pokemon.
It does. Oh, it's totally does. A Pokemon. Yeah. It's
an elven owl archer with a cloak.
He looks like an elven owl archer because he's got like the cloak of feathers and he like uses like a bow and arrows. It's fucking cool. It's really dope.
Since when do Pokemon have like hand weapons?
I don't know. Since Gen 7.
What the fuck? You had Cubone. Cubone. Farfetch'd had a leek. It was food. That's not the same.
Oh,
Cubone had his.
He doesn't Cubone's know about had Sir it, had Farfetch'd. His
Sir Farfetch'd?
Yeah, Sir Farfetch'd.
He was knighted?
Yeah, he's got a shield and everything. He's dope as fuck now.
Dude, Pokemon has gone off the
That's
rails,
the,
man.
But it's the UK version. They had to have somebody knighted.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Out of all the Pokemon from the Gen 1 that you could knight, Farfetch'd makes a whole lot of sense. Like,
come on, man.
If it wasn't Farfetch'd, it would have to be like...
How would you knight a Pokemon? There's no Queen of England in fucking...
We don't know the social structures of Pokemon and what they do when we're not around.
You're right. All we do is capture them and force them to fight
exactly.
each other to the
they
death.
They could probably get up into all kinds of wild shit. Who knows? I don't know.
They definitely wouldn't be knighting each other.
Maybe.
Otherwise, there's some serious like slavery problems here.
Well, it always has been with Pokemon.
Yeah, but there you could explain it away as pets, except for smart ones like Mewtwo. And apparently this elven knight.
Elven archer. Alex, what's wrong? You look like there's something.
No, I forgot to mention that Gary Oak also has an Alakazam. So like come on. Like, come on.
Yeah.
His squad is badass.
It's fair.
We're not picking favorite squads here. We're picking which Pokemon would you go for first?
If I had to pick a starter, we've gone over that. We've answered this question before. I would pick Squirtle because it's just nostalgic for me. And Squirtles are badass.
You know, I think we picked which starter we'd want to beat up.
Yeah, that's true. Who we could beat.
And then we've also at one point chosen which Pokemon would be the most delicious if you cook it and ate it, and it would be Snorlax.
Absolutely. Definitely the most calorie dense and practical.
Actually, I think I'm going to change my answer to Snorlax because walking around that whole region would be really tiring and hungering. And you'd really want something that's slow and lumbering that you could easily kill and carve up and cook. And I think that might do it for this episode of Space Castle. It's your Clubhouse Narrows for all things nerdy. I have totally turned Seth off from Pokemon forever with that visual.
I have like legitimate problems with some of the things you've said today.
Let me think about it for a long time. Mulling it over for enough time to pre-order Pokemon Scarlet.
Don't pre-order video games.
Okay, buy Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
I will buy it when it comes out, probably. I don't know when that is. DTU, I'm sure, will tell me.
November 18th, 2022.
They know what they're doing. It's right before Thanksgiving. Like, everybody's going to pop up like, I haven't seen you in a long time. What are you doing? Oh, okay. I'll talk to you in 3 days.
Guys, what about Krabby, though? Krabby is just a crab. We could eat the fuck out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you could totally eat Krabby.
There's something to be said about the seafood there. They knew what they were doing.
What do you think Gyarados would taste like?
Gyarados would absolutely taste like an eel.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. You can fry it up, though, or like grill it. It would taste like some really dope like sushi.
Make good sushi, for
sure.
You can
do like Magikarp rolls with like grilled Gyarados on top. Fuck.
I've been to a place that had, quote, Magikarp rolls.
I'm going to get to the Pokemon region, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go around and collect all the Pokemon I think would be delicious, and then I would start the most controversial restaurant ever.
That's how we get success. All right.
My name's DT, and I will travel across the land searching far and wide for Pokemon that are delicious and will fill me up inside.
Nailed it. I'm Red Wine and Snatch Alex. I'm looking forward to this episode of Chef's Table. And I'm also a part-time librarian, Winnebago Thief, Inverse Batman, King Killer Dude, Centaur Biologist, Bastion Basher, Master and Space Commander, Molotov Jonghammer, Taco Cow Herder these days, Dad Joker sometimes.
And I'm Seth.
I want to start Iron Chef Pokemon. The secret ingredient is Staryu.
Coming to TikTok soon. Oh no. Oh, this is terrible.
Oh, if you're somehow enjoying what you're hearing, please share us with your friends and leave us like a review on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Seth, do you wanna do this thing? If you got it in you, if you're not just completely emotionally drained at this point. Do you love anything at all anymore?
I just want to live in a solar punk world like Pokemon.
Well, you can on November 18th, 2022.
Now that we're at the end of this episode, if you guys really wanted to make me get this game in 20 seconds and we could have talked about a different topic, all you had to do was remind me what a great solar punk world this is, and I would have been in.
There is a Pokemon.
Is there a Pokemon that's a solar panel? Because I'm going to fucking bounce right out again.
There is Rotom, which is a living Pokemon computer, which also houses your Pokedex.
There's a Pokemon that's a computer.
And we just broke him again. I'll just say it. Bye, I love you. He's not coming back from that one.
Nope, that's it. We lost him. Bye-bye.
Fuck.